6:21, and it's Monday, rainy but warm, up in the high 60s, almost 70 degrees. Well, wherever you go nowadays, whether it's to the store or just anywhere out and about, you'll see women wearing these headscarves. They're known as hijabs. My next guest says we should show love to these women. He writes about it in his recent op-ed, and in fact, he himself knows a lot about these issues because he used to be a lawyer in Iran. We're joined by Daniel Akbari, who's the author of several books, including Honor Killing and A New Jihadist and Islam. Daniel, great to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me on, sir.
Yeah, and having you on 1320 WILS. So I want to start with Iran because that's you were born and raised in Iran?
Yes, sir.
And what are you a Muslim then yourself, or?
I came to Christ about 14 years ago.
Oh, did you? Okay, so you were raised Muslim, or?
Yes, I was a Muslim for 24 years.
Okay, what made you have that? What caused that change?
Yeah, when I was in law school in Iran, a Bible fell into my hands. I read it. I came to Christ.
What fell in your hands?
A Bible.
Oh, Bible. Had you not read a Bible before that point, or?
No, not that point. A friend of mine had a Bible, so I read it. I came to Christ. You know, it's not printed in Iran. It was 70-something years old from World War II. Wow. A group of Iranian in the United Kingdom had published it. So,
could you get in trouble for having a Bible in Iran? Or?
It makes police to monitor you more than ever.
Hmm. And what now? You were practicing law. When we talk about law, that was Sharia law in Iran?
Yes, Iran is Sharia law-based, so the law is totally different. You have to study Quran, you have to study Hadith, and also Islamic jurisprudence and Sharia law to be able to practice law before Iranian courts.
And did you have it? I mean, what was your feeling about Sharia law living under it?
You know, in retrospect, I see how horrible living under Sharia is. That's why I'm trying to raise awareness among people to tell them that, hey, Sharia is not a delicious life you live under. I mean, I don't want to experience it anymore, specifically for my kids. I don't want my kids to live under Sharia in the future.
Now, I mean, how do people, because some of Sharia is like, what, they death for adultery? Is that right? That kind of thing?
Yes. For example, Sharia law, when it comes to family law, it's about child marriage, about polygamy, about a woman half of man, or those things. When it comes to criminal law, it's about beheading, about chopping hands and heads, mm-hmm. and other things that we see in ISIS.
And how do you, I mean, when you're living under a law like that, how do you kind of live knowing these kinds of enormously harsh penalties are out there?
Yeah, you have to just follow the rules and be a good boy. I mean, follow Sharia law and not get into trouble.
Really? And did people seem to really stick to the rules with that kind of law in place?
Yes, you know, Sharia law is so broad and vast. So many things are there that you might step on something against Sharia and get into trouble, especially for women, about hijab, about staying at home, mm-hmm. about many things that, you know, women are more in danger than men.
Right. In the court system, could you get a break if you knew somebody or you argued the case, or were they pretty strict about things?
You know, it is hard to go beyond Sharia. Whatever you argue should be within Sharia law, mm-hmm. if I got your question correctly.
Yeah, so essentially you couldn't kind of say, hey, can you give us just a warning this time?
Oh, sometimes, you know, when it gets into law enforcement, it's easier because they get bribed. So, for example, your client has to get 80 lashes or 80 flogs. When it goes to be performed, you bribe the law enforcement and they do it easier, or they do half of it and write that they perform the whole 80 lashes, something like that.
80 lashes. Did you ever face any penalties yourself while you were there?
Yeah, for me, no, but I had many clients, though. But for myself, I tried to stay out of trouble.
Yeah, wow. So they'd end up getting lashes. Would they just start crying and shaking when that was going to happen?
Yeah, each flag takes out a part of the skin. So after 80, probably they cannot eat, they cannot sleep on their back for about a month.
Mm. Were you aware that the rest of the world, the Western world, had a whole different system?
We knew that the United States and Western countries are different, but, you know, no choice. They live under that horrible system and they had to endure it.
That's still the case today, or do you think anything's changed over there?
No, it is the same. Mm-hmm. Iran is a state based on Sharia, and everything is the same.
Yeah. So did you? Is that you? You said you found a Bible, you read it. Is that when you decided to leave the country? Or?
Yes, a friend of mine had a Bible. He was an atheist. He had many different books about different religions. One mm-hmm. of them was the Bible. When I read it, I came to Christ. About after 1 year, when I finished my law school, I went to Turkey, lived there for 1 year. I mean, going to an American church and learning more about my faith. That's how I went.
Yeah, that's a major transition. I'm talking to Daniel Akbari, author of several books, Honor Killing, one of them, the other one, New Jihadists and Islam. Now, in your op-ed, you say that, you say why we should show love to women in hijabs, and you talk about what these hijabs are really all about. I mean, in the U.S., I guess we're seeing them more and more. Do you, is it different when you see a hijab in the U.S. as compared to in Iran?
In Iran, you see, for example, half of the people have hijab because they have to do that to stay, not to get punished. Mm-hmm. But here, you know, it's about norm. It's not about government. It's about families. But still, families impose those things on their women and daughters. And, you know, sometimes inside their houses, they are experiencing a miserable life. They have to fight for their fundamental rights, even for me.
Do you think women here in the U.S., when they're wearing the hijab, they'd prefer not to, or?
I don't think if they prefer to do that, at least the majority of them, because that's against woman nature. Women normally love to show their beauties. I mean, for here we see that Muslim women have to do so because the male family members impose that into them.
What do you mean impose? What does that mean?
They have to follow. If they do not follow that part, they might get probably beaten up, or sometimes in the United States, they might face divorce or many problems or mistreatment inside house.
For not wearing this headscarf, this hijab.
Yes, yes, because, you know, Islam has made such a boundary. If the woman does not follow that, it's going to raise, probably it's going to tickle mm-hmm. the Muslim man's honor, which is gayra, an Islamic specific jealousy.
If she does not wear the hijab, that violates the man's honor?
Right, because man, that's why in our book we defined honor based on what Islam says, gayra, because in the United States, American might think about honor as patriotism, as honesty. In Islam, specifically when it comes to women, honor is a specific jealousy that Islam has provided for the Muslim man to make sure that their female family members follow the Islamic restrictions for women dress and conduct.
It's called gayra, you said?
Gayra. Gayra means others. It's excluding others.
Okay, so and the idea is for the man not to feel a sense of jealousy, so the woman then covers her head, and okay. And so now, go ahead.
They have to cover the whole body in a way not to see the shape. For example, if you have a tight pants, that's also against Islam. It should be imperceptible.
I see a lot of times where there's a headscarf, but the rest of the clothes are Western here in the U.S.
That's why we wrote the op-ed to say what they love to fight against hijab, but they have to go slowly. When they come here, they have to go through a process to persuade their parents, to persuade their husbands, to allow them to become prettier, to send those restrictions away slowly. Mm-hmm. That's why we see them sometimes in pink hijab, in jeans, blue jeans or something. Those are not Islamic. Those are the efforts that women inside house, they fought for their fundamental rights. Right. And to some extent, they have been successful.
You know, there are some that are concerned about Sharia law making its way into the U.S. Others that say that's a ridiculous notion. You've lived under this law. Do you think it could make its way into the U.S. somehow?
You know, Islam's goal is to be universal and bring everybody under Islamic rules, and that's for sure. And what is undeniable is that Islamic organizations and many people who go to those Islamic organizations or follow them, for sure they have this aim to dominate the whole world and impose Sharia to everyone. How successful they are going to be, it's a little bit hard to say today, but for me, it's probably going to come in 20 or 30 years, because if they become 12% or 15% of the community, at least they can impose Sharia. They can ask the politicians or force the politicians to accept Sharia law, at least for Islamic community.
You said once they're 12 to 15% of the population. Are you saying it's just a matter of numbers right now?
Yes. If they become about 40 million, for sure, congressmen, for sure, I mean, the senators and even the president have to drive them, have to tell them, yeah, if you vote for me, I'm going to fight to establish Sharia.
Tell me this, the concept of moderate Muslims that don't, they're Muslim, but they believe in democracy and an open society. Is there such a thing in your mind?
We don't have such a thing as moderate Muslims. If, you know, what we see as moderate Muslims, Islam do not call them Muslim because they do not even practice the five pillars. Half of what we might see as Muslims are just Middle Easterns with Arabic names. They are not Muslim at all. The other half are either jihadists or support Sharia or pay money to establish Sharia or lobby or do things. So there is no such a thing as moderate Muslim.
Well, look, we're going to have you on again to talk a lot more. Daniel Akbari, formerly studied law and practiced law in Iran, author of two books, Honor Killing, one of them Honor Killing, A Professional's Guide to Sexual Relations and Gyra Violence.
Yes.
From the Islamic sources. Also, a new Jihadist and Islam. Hey, Daniel, thank you so much, and let's talk again.
Thanks a lot, sir. Bye.
And when we come back, we'll find out about memory, your memory, and just how much of it you're going to lose as you get older. Next.